Her name was Ruth Edwards. And she was married to her husband, John, for 60 years. And there were some rough times in those 60 years. But Ruth spent a whole lot of time on her knees, on her artificial knees, before God, inviting God, inviting the Holy Spirit to anoint her, inviting the Holy Spirit to be part of everything that she was doing. And the way that people would see this play out is that everywhere she went, there was not a person who was not going to hear about Jesus. There was a, you were going to get prayed for, willing or not, when Ruth was around. And she made herself available for God to move in any way that he wanted to. And all of this came from the relationship that she cultivated with her Heavenly Father as he filled her with his Spirit through her times in prayer. Surrendered to him, desperate for him to show up. And through that relationship, he would lead her to these amazing opportunities where the mysteries of the gospel would be proclaimed. And people would understand the heart and the love of their Heavenly Father as God spoke through Ruth. Last week, as we looked at Ephesians 6, 10 to 17, we saw this, that Paul outlines this battle that we are in. And the reality that we have an enemy who wants us to believe that the armor we need is this. You'll be good. Feel it, think it, logic it, work it out, try hard, be a positive thinker, have good self-esteem, whatever it might be, armor up. But Paul points out, goes, oh, no, no, no. Don't you dare fall for the lie that this is flesh and blood and about your feelings and about how things appear to you and how you need to work this out. This is a spiritual battle, and you need this kind of armor. You need this kind of spiritual armor that says, in the name of Jesus, in the power and the authority given me by Jesus Christ, and as I put my faith in him, I am armored up. And I will not stand for lies. I will stand in the truth. And when the fiery arrows of the enemy come at me, I'm going to tell hell no. And I'm going to get armored up. But what if I'm going to do it again. You ready? We're going to get armored up to do battle, to wage war in the heavenly realms against an enemy that wants anything than for us to have union with God, than to have union with our Heavenly Father. Now, imagine a warrior who's armored up, looks like he's ready for battle, and then steps forward and goes, all right, I don't need any more input from anybody. I don't need any kind of encouragement. I don't need any sort of direction. I don't need any kind of marching orders from any kind of authority in my life. Now that I have the armor, now that I'm geared up, I'm good to go, and I'm going to go do my best. We would look at this warrior and say, that's absurd. That's not how battle works, and it's certainly not how spiritual battle works. But when we believe we're geared up because we attended church this week, or I went to youth group on Wednesday, or I sang the songs, or even I read the passage that's on my Bible reading plan booklet. I came to church, and when the truth of God was proclaimed, I nodded my head in agreement. And then the rest of my week had no engagement with my Heavenly Father. We so often fall for getting geared up like this. Being at church, going to youth group, being in a life group, reading, whether it's the Bible reading plan or just on your own, whatever, all things that we should be doing. But the expectation should be that as we do that, we are cultivating relationship and union with our Heavenly Father. And when that happens, we are filled with the power of His Spirit, and we're able to go out and engage in the war, in the spiritual battle that is facing every one of us. And when the fiery darts start coming at us, rather than it being like, we stand. In the power and the presence of God, we stand. Anointed as His people, with supernatural abilities that do not come from our own strength, our own religiosity, our own ideas and understanding of what we're comfortable with, but comes from the power and the presence of God. And we stand in that and we say, amen. We stand in that power and we say, God, what do you have for me? What do you want to do? And we cultivate that union with God through this invitation that we have to pray. This invitation that we have for relationship. And here's a reality that I'm just going to throw it out there, Dave. It applies to me if it applies to you, right? Your prayer life will demonstrate how real and serious you think the battle is. Your prayer life, how you engage in this relationship with your Heavenly Father being filled with His Spirit will demonstrate how real you think the battle is. And I'll tell you, it is much easier to prepare for this kind of battle. This is much more convenient. This is much easier to handle and wield. Even looking around, if I were to say, hey, what is this? You'd say armor. So this is much easier. But your prayer life, how you engage, what you come to the Father with, what you are desperate for, that you bring to Him and invite Him to do in your life will demonstrate how real and how serious you think the battle is. So we get to this part where Paul says, all right, now that you're geared up, be really geared up, okay, in the power of God. Now that you're geared up with the armor in place, pray. Don't get hung up on trying to figure out what to pray, how to pray. Does it sound right? Am I saying the right things? Am I in the right posture? And I guess I better wait till Sunday. Just with the armor on, pray. A few months ago, we went through a series on how to pray. And one of the things that we talked about is that prayer is one of the ways that we have union with God. Union. Not a mild interest, not something that, when it's convenient, but we can be brought into union with God. And in his book that we talked about a lot, How to Pray, Pete Gregg said it this way, that prayer is nothing unless it is a matter of vast and all-consuming importance for each one of us. It's not an add-on. It's not to be saved for only when you're in a really tight spot, or once you've tried everything else, then pray. He says, as you are armored up, now is the time to pray, because we are invited into this relationship. We tell you all the time to read this, God's word, the Bible. You should be in God's word. You know why? Because it leads to a person. The living God, the Almighty God who wants to have relationship with you. It's the invitation. It's about Him. It reveals His truth. It reveals His personality. So we need to be in the word, not with the end goal of like, the point is to just get to the maps. But because this is going to lead us to the power and the presence of God and what He's calling us to and what He wants to do in and through our lives. So with the armor of God on, we are called to wage war through prayer. Do you view it that way? Do you look at it and you go, when I come before God, I am a mighty, he equips me to be a mighty warrior to wage war against an enemy who wants to steal from me, kill me, and destroy all life in me. So here's how Paul walks it through in his letter to the Ephesians and to us. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit. Now, in several of Paul's other letters, to the Romans, to the Corinthians, he describes aspects of praying in the Spirit. And I want to say, first and foremost, praying in the Spirit is not about what it looks like or what it sounds like. Okay, there is not a formula to like, oh, well, this is praying in the Spirit, but this isn't. Oh, if you're really praying in the Spirit, you're doing this. It's not about that. In his letter to the church in Rome, he describes it as groans too deep for words. There are times that praying in the Spirit is absolutely silent, where your spirit in union with God is just crying out. As you make yourself available, the spirit in you intercedes for you. And there are groans that too deep for words. There are times that those groans come out. Sometimes those groans, too deep for words, aren't actual words. They are the tears of a brokenhearted mom. It's the angst, the spiritual angst of a dad who's looking to love his family and lead his family. There are times that it comes out as a teenager walking out of the house after having an encounter with the parental units or whatever, and it's just, with a heart that is surrendered to God, inviting the Holy Spirit to bring life and to lead. Sometimes praying in the Spirit is, and the Spirit of God who knows you intercedes for you and interprets your groans that are too deep for words. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul describes and talks about speaking in tongues. And there are times that tongues are used as a prophetic gift that needs an interpretation, and God uses it that way. And there are ways that Paul describes it as a prayer language, as someone who is just crying out. And I'll tell you, like, this is one of the ways that God has gifted me, and that my prayer life is in tongues, that I will cry out to God. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm trusting that the Spirit of God in me is interpreting and interceding to the Father through my groans that are too deep for words. But again, it's not about what it looks like or what it sounds like. It's not a formula. It's not a step-by-step process. It is a heart that is aligned with the heart of God. And that's not something through the Spirit, when we're doing in the Spirit, that's not something we have to try and figure out, oh, am I doing this in line with God? Have I figured this out right? Do I have the right idea? As you surrender, as you make yourself desperate for Him, we can be aligned with the heart of God. If you have a hard time praying, it could be that you're not praying in the Spirit. If you're having a hard time praying, it could be that you're not praying in the Spirit. It could be that you're praying in your head, you're praying in your logic, you're praying in your emotion, you're praying in your feelings, you're praying in your church experience. But what God calls us to is an utter surrender and dependence on Him. When we do that, all the pressure on you is off. All the pressure of like, oh, am I saying this right combination of words? Oh, I heard somebody pray like this once, and that was impressive. It's about coming in utter dependence on God and full surrender to Him. Pray in the Spirit, making ourselves fully available to the power and the presence of God and whatever He wants to do. Well, when should we do this? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Morning, night, meals, bedtime, in crisis, on the go, when you're working out, in silence, in solitude. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, this gives us a picture of how much does God want to do with you? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Anytime we get into this mindset of like, oh, do I need to pray here? In fact, one of the things that I've heard come up multiple times through my life is like, all right, so pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So I'm supposed to pray about whether I go to McDonald's or Burger King? Well, if you're going to McDonald's or Burger King, you should probably pray. But aside, here's what I would say. What are we trying to get around with that kind of justification or argument? Well, do I really have to pray about whether to go here or here? Here's what I would say. If you're on your way and you're like, do I go to McDonald's or Burger King? And the thought comes to you, maybe I should pray about it. Pray about it. You don't need to, it doesn't need to be this thing of like, oh, well, is now a time? Pray in the Spirit when? On all occasions. Get out of your head. Get out of this idea of like, oh, well, if it needs to look like this, I don't have anywhere to kneel down. I probably shouldn't shut my eyes if I'm driving. Right now I'm working out. Right now I'm on, whatever. Get out of your head. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In full surrender, in full desperation of going, God, what is it that you need to do? What is it that you have for me? What direction, what prompting do I need to listen to? God, make me sensitive to your voice. That I would go and do and be who you've called me to be rather than what I can figure out. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Well, all right, sounds like I'm going to be doing a lot of praying. What should I pray for? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. Remember, prayer brings us into union with God. It brings us into relationship with God. And so if this relationship is really as deep and meaningful and significant and invited as God tells us it is, well then, is there going to be this limit on what you're supposed to pray about? Hey, don't ask me for that again. And sometimes we put our human experience, like where we've worn somebody out by asking, and they get frustrated. I'm tired of you asking me this. We've all been on the receiving end of it. Some of you, you are experiencing this with kids right now. It's like, don't ask me again, please. And we put that on God. And we go, oh, well, I know how sick and tired I get when I'm asked this a bunch of times. God probably, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. What are you willing to go to God with? What are you actively, intentionally going to God with? And in what ways are you limiting and going, oh, well, probably not that. We are called to go to God. And there's different ways we can do this. Petition. We can petition God, meaning we can ask God for things for ourselves. We can go to him and express a need. I mean, he tells us this in his word. You should read it. And says, look, come to me, make your prayers and requests known to me. Tell me what it is that you want. Praying for yourself is not selfish. I'll say it again. Praying for yourself is not selfish. We can make it selfish, but inherently it's not a selfish thing to do. Praying for ourselves is not selfish. We are told by the writer of Hebrews that we can come before the throne of grace with confidence. We can pray for ourselves. In fact, I'm going to challenge you with this because I know that this is a common mindset. It is unbiblical to be in the mindset that you should not pray for yourself. It is unbiblical, meaning not in God's word. It is against the truth of God to believe that you should not be praying for yourself. We are absolutely supposed to be praying for ourselves. We are absolutely supposed to be asking God for things and asking God to do things in and through our life. And we should not be ashamed about it. We should come before his throne of grace confidently, believing and trusting that he hears our prayers and he discerns our heart and he knows us, that we would come to him and go, look, as imperfect as this sounds, I'm asking for this. So we can petition God. Paul even asks others to pray for him, which we're going to get to in just a second. But if you're spiritually insecure praying for yourself, you're probably going to be too insecure to ask other people to pray for you, which means, how much prayer are you getting? And yet, we fall into this lie. We are absolutely to be praying for ourselves. And then we're called to pray on behalf of others, to intercede for others, to go to God on behalf of other people and approach again confidently the throne of grace. So, I have two questions for you. Who do you have praying for you, and who are you praying for? Each of you should have received a little piece of paper when you came in. There, maybe grab a pen that's on the seat backs in front of you, or open up your phone and open up notes on your phone. Text it to yourself, whatever you need to do. Here's what I'm going to give you time right now to do it. We aren't waiting. We're not going to be like, oh, I'll think about this later. Doing it right now. Who are three people that you need to be praying for right now? Write it down. Three people that you should be praying for right now. Then, maybe on the other side, who are three people that you should ask to be praying for you? This might be really uncomfortable for some of you. Get over it. God says this. Who are three people that you should be praying for, that God is putting on your heart even right now? Holy Spirit can be speaking to you right now. Who are three people that you should be praying for? And then who are three people that you need to actively ask? Go to them and say, would you please be praying for me? You can give them something specific to pray for or just in general. Who are you praying for, and who do you have praying for you? So we're geared up. We're told to pray for ourselves and for others. And then Paul gives this sobering reality again. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert. The reality is, when we stop praying, our guard goes down. When we stop praying, it becomes about emotion. It becomes about logic. It becomes about perspective and what we think about a situation. It becomes about what we think we can handle and how we're going to handle it. When we stop praying, our guard goes down. And here's the reality of the enemy that we are battling against. He will not give up. He is relentless. He's described as a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. He is looking for anybody armored up like this. He's looking for anybody who sees the battle and just goes, things are going okay. I mean, I can probably do better. Do not give up. Here is Paul's cheer for us, or his cry for us right here. Don't be a quitter. Keep on praying. Have you quit? Have you quit praying? Maybe it's because you're lazy. Maybe it's because you're complacent. Maybe it's because you've tried praying and it didn't have the outcome that you wanted. Maybe you prayed for a long time and you didn't see the result, either that you wanted or any result at all, so you figured, okay, it's time to give up. We are called to pray. We are called to keep on praying. Our word for prayer comes from the Latin word precarious. Life is precarious. There are all kinds of things that we are facing, and this brings us back to our view of the battle. If you don't think the battle is any big deal, if you think you can handle it, if you feel like, hey, I have a strategy, or I'm pretty smart, or I've been going to church a long time, and I'm going to rely on that, and here we are. And when the fiery arrows come at us, it's terrifying. We are called to be in prayer. Pastor Tyler Statton said this: the hidden atheism of our time is that we will busy ourselves with almost anything except prayer. The hidden atheism. Okay, so atheism meaning belief that there is no God. The hidden atheism of our time is that we will busy ourselves with almost anything except prayer. We'll busy ourselves with working harder, trying harder, being a better person, being positive, doing all the, oh, okay, I got to figure this out. We will busy ourselves with almost anything except prayer. So how are you approaching life if it's not through prayer? What does that look like in your life? Because prayer offers us a bigger picture. Prayer offers us a bigger picture. He says in verse 19, pray also for me. Oh, look, Paul's asking for prayer. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, from which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul is recognizing there is something supernatural here. Look at the way he addresses the gospel. That I may fearlessly do it, meaning there's going to be battle, there's going to be things that come against him. That I may fearlessly declare the mystery of the gospel. The reality that this is deeper than you can figure out. This is deeper than you can just think your way through. This is deeper than you can logic and make sense. So who are you going to turn to? Well, Dan's a pretty smart guy. Dan's a really smart guy. But you know why we gain things when Dan teaches? Because he's anointed. He's declaring the truth of God, and it's not just this logic thing. It's not this thing like, hey, guys, let me teach you what I learned. It's the Spirit of God being declared over our lives. Is that what we're receiving? So Paul says, please pray for me that I would be able to do this, not in my own power or logic or intellect or what I think is going to reach the people, but God, in your Spirit, would you move in me and through me? My Grammy was a prayer. And she had a relationship with Jesus that was precious. And she was a prayer because she recognized the battle that she was in. Whether it was with family, marriage, physical body breaking down, whatever it was, she would make herself available to God. And she would wake up every day before the sun came up, not just on time change day, but every day before the sun came up, she would go out and she would pore over God's word. She and my pop. They would pore over God's word, and I would spend the night at their house a lot. And when I eventually woke up, I would come out into the kitchen, and on the kitchen table was her Bible and his Bible opened up. I mean, highlighter notes, things written all over and under things underlined and circled, and because they had sat there contending for the Spirit of God in their life. And I would see that, and Grammy and Pop actually went here to LBF, and they were part of, they called it the prayer chain. They weren't getting emails or texts somebody would call up on the phone, and Grammy had her pad of paper, and she would write down all these names. She'd show me. She'd be like, "Oh, Jeff, we got to pray for Grace because, you know, her you know, rheumatoid arthritis flared up. We got to pray for Pete. His wife just had a heart attack. We got to pray for Danielle. Her daughter fell down and scraped her knee. We're going to lift him up." Grammy prayed for our family. Grammy would pray for me. Grammy would pray God's power and his love over me. Grammy would pray for her church. I am confident that I am here, that some of you are here, that the ministry of LBF is here, in part because Grammy prayed for us. She would pray for her family through the difficult years of marriage that were really tough. She would pray through grief. She would go to the hospital for another hip or another knee or a bowel obstruction or something. She was in rough shape. And man, somebody in that hospital needed Jesus. I wonder whether maybe God was taking out her joints just as an evangelism strategy. Because somebody was hearing about Jesus. We'd come into the room and there'd be a nurse sitting there by her bed, not doing her job, not changing an IV or doing anything, but sitting there next to her bed crying. And we'd walk in and we're like, and Grammy would go, "Oh, this is Rebecca. She knows Jesus now." She'd tell us, "Oh, I had a good time praying with Dr. Bott this morning. His granddaughter is in the school play. So we prayed for his granddaughter." And this was a woman who invited the power and the presence of God into everything that she did. She made herself available because she believed in the relationship that she was invited into. What do you think? What do you think about that? Where you're at in your life, some of the stuff that you're facing, I can't even imagine. God knows right where you're at. Some of the things that you've been working really hard, you've been trying hard to make better, you've been trying to heal, you've been trying to forgive, you've been trying to do all the things, and it's, I mean, on the outside, it looks like you're trying, and today it is time to surrender in desperation to the power of God in your life. It is time to invite Holy Spirit to come in and do the work that only He is able to do, and to respond to that. Not just in knowledge of going, I agree, Jeff. Yes, I'm for the Bible. I'm here at church. What are you telling me for? I know. I'm there too. That every day we would choose to believe God and take God at His word when He says pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Come to me, you who are weary and your burden is heavy. I'll give you rest. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. What do we do with that? We can know it and then choose not to engage. And we wonder, what happened? I went to church. What happened? I prayed before dinner. What will you make yourself available for God to do? And here at LBF, we believe we exist to passionately pursue life in Jesus. And then as we do that, we will lead our neighbors to do the same, that they're going to see this in us, that there's no way they'd fall for this. They're going to look at our lives and go, whoa! They're ready for something. I don't know what it is, but maybe they'll tell me about it. We tell you to read God's word because it is transformative because of the relationship we can have with Jesus. And we can use all the other things, but we better not get caught up and go, oh, it's a checklist. We have opportunities on Monday nights, right over here in the Ridge, formerly the Cube, right over here in the Ridge, on Mondays from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we pray. We circle up and we pray. There's nothing fancy. There's not a program. It is just us in utter surrender to Jesus saying, God, we need you to show up. God, we don't want this to be about what we can do or what we think or what we have the strength to do. We need you to show up. Guess what he does? Shows up. There are, of course, in our day and age, all kinds of apps. Don't get caught up in the app. Oh man, look at the streak I have. You've missed the point. Now, have a streak? Good, that means you're doing it, but don't do it for the streak. The Inner Room app, the Pause app, the Lectio 365 app, great ways of like, hey, reminding or coming alongside or supporting, wonderful. But it is the power of God at work in us that is going to change our life. Would you stand with me? I believe that this morning, prayer ministry team, come on up. I believe that this morning is a morning of transformation. And it is certainly not because of any way that I have been like, oh, influencing, and oh, it's something Jeff said, oh, that really stuck with me. But right now that the Holy Spirit is stirring something up in you where you're going, okay, it is time to get ready for battle. It is time for me to make myself available to God. And I don't know what that's supposed to look like for you. I don't know what he wants to gift you with or anoint you with. I don't know what he wants to empower you to go and do, but I do know this, he wants to. Holy Spirit, right now we come to you and we pray that you would raise us up. We pray and ask, Holy Spirit, for your presence and your power that is beyond our understanding. It is beyond maybe our comfort level, definitely our comfort level. It is more than we can ask for or imagine. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and you would fill this place, that your anointing would fall on every life in this room, regardless of church experience, regardless of family dynamic, regardless of our feelings and our emotions. Holy Spirit, right now we pray that you would descend on this place and that you would bring life, that you would bring anointing, that you would stir it up in us where it's no longer, we're no longer able to resist it. We're no longer able to ignore it. We're done figuring it out and trying to make it make sense. Holy Spirit, we just want you. As we sing this song is a prayer of anointing over us. Will you receive this? And you can sing along, that's great, but will you receive this as the anointing of God being prayed over you? And would you say yes, God, to this? We have the prayer ministry team up here, and for some of you, it's time for you to come up and respond by coming up and praying for yourself. They're gonna let you pray for yourself first. And it's time for you to take that step and go, you know what? I'm gonna cry out to God on my own behalf. For some, you need to come up and there are people in your life that you need to lift up in courage, in boldness, come before God and say, God, I'm gonna ask you for the hard stuff. Or you may need to come up to begin a relationship with Jesus and go, you know what? I've been trying to do the religion thing. I'm trying to be a spiritual person. The question is, which spirit? And you need to surrender your life to Jesus and say yes to him. Say, God, I'm done doing this on my own. I ask for your forgiveness for the ways I've lived against you, and I ask you to save me. So Holy Spirit, come and fill us. God, would you move in this place? Would this be a season of fire? Would this be a season of awakening? Would this be a season of renewed boldness in the heavenly realms, that it would fall on this place and we would step out in you? So as we sing this, don't wait, just come forward. If we need more people, staff and ministry leaders, come up and pray with people. But as we sing this, let's declare this over our lives, let's receive it, and let's respond to what God's doing.